This is the Real Magic Podcast. Learn about great design and use it to get great results. Now your hosts, Greg Marilise and Alan Nunez.
Hello, listener, and thank you for joining Alan and I for the Real Magic Design Podcast, where we try to unpack our experience and help designers and business owners understand how to create amazing designs and work together to make design that is profitable. I'm Greg from Studio One Design, and he's my partner and co-host, as always, Alan from Pixel Partners.
G'day, Greg. How are you doing today, mate?
Doing fantastic.
That is good to hear. Good to hear, mate. We've got a really great guest on the show today. But before we get into our guest, who's going to talk all about branding for businesses, what have you been up to, mate?
Well, just been preparing to put some new videos on my website. So I've hired somebody off Odesk to put together just a nice little 3D animation of my logo with some, you know, some funky music and stuff, and just get the whole structure set up so I can start recording videos, you know, for the blog, etc. So yeah, it's just nice to have a little intro and a little outro. It just makes it feel a little bit more professional. So yeah, that's cool. And what about you, Al? What have you been up to, buddy?
Mate, I've been sick. The whole family's sick.
That's what's going on.
You know, there's this nasty flu bug that's going around, and you know, I have dragged myself out from under the blankets and off the couch to come and do this recording because I wouldn't miss it for quids. But to be honest, it is nice that I've been able to just shoot a message to my guys and the business just keeps on trucking, you know. So the business has not collapsed because I haven't been 100% available for the last few days.
That's a sign of a good business.
Yeah, definitely, you know. So
how long do you think you could go before you'd have to step back in?
Well, look, the last time I was away for about 4 weeks with the family.
Yeah.
You know, I checked the odd email, made the odd phone call, but not much.
That's really good, man. It's I certainly don't think I could do that just yet. So what about sales? Do you have somebody handling your sales?
A lot of our clients are repeat business. So, you know, we make a sale once, particularly with Pixel Partners, you know, the lifetime value of our customers is very high because once designers work out that they can hand off some of the chores that are required in design and they can just focus on the high-end creative for their businesses, or for their clients, should I say, then, you know, once they start using us, they see how easy it is, they just keep sending work every week, you know.
Perfect, yeah.
So, I mean, we do a huge amount of stuff which really chews into the creative time for graphic design businesses, agencies and things like that. And they require somebody with a decent level of creative skill, but it doesn't mean that that business owner or the small business has to have his best people doing that work. So they often just now really, you know, spend that one-on-one time with their clients, get the concepts and the creative right up there, and then they offload the production work and allow us to roll out their vision across multiple pieces so that they can then move on and help another client. So
sounds like you got it sorted.
Yeah, it's good. It's good.
That's awesome. All right, look, let's not keep the listener waiting. Who have we got today, Al?
Mate, sitting in the wings is a good friend of mine who lives in the local area here where I am in the inner west of Sydney. Her name is Susan Jones from Living Lines Design, and she specializes in branding. So let's get Sue in here. So we have Sue here with us today from Living Lines. And she is an expert in branding for small businesses. So, Sue, it's great to have you here. How are you today?
I'm great, thanks.
That is awesome. So, Sue, just for the sake of our listeners, can you just give us a brief overview of, you know, who you are, what your history is, and what you're doing today with Living Lines, like what services that you provide?
Okay, well, my background originally is actually as a fashion designer. So my degree was a fashion design and business, and I worked as a buyer for 9 years in London before coming to Australia. Now, the interesting thing in Australia was I actually started businesses in Australia for niche market clothing businesses and ended up starting one for Coles Myer, then Rockman's, and then Specialty Fashion Group, and ended up being their general manager. So I've got a lot of business background. I love business, but also design background, which is quite frustrating when you're actually on the business end of the model as a general manager. So I ran the business for 7 years, 125 stores in a $70 million business. So I understand business very well. We traveled around the world 4 times a year to about 5 countries in Europe as well as America, as well as going to a lot of Asian countries sourcing. So a lot of brand knowledge in terms of being up there with the top ends of fashion brands. And as we know, fashion brands are the most cutthroat. So that's where my background was. I stepped down from that role and ended up lecturing for 3 years at a business college. And I used to lecture design and finance and a lot of retail areas of business based on my past experience. And while I was doing that, I retrained as a graphic designer. While I was running businesses, I realized that I was being shortchanged a lot of the time through the advertising agencies, not being creative. And what you find with a lot of businesses is, people, it's like a cookie cutter, the same thing day in, day out. Nobody pushes the boundaries. Nobody gives you anything exciting. And as we know with advertising, you've got a couple of seconds and people slept as they walked past our windows. So I educated myself in graphic design and then decided to open my own branding agency with the knowledge that I had through business and where I'd actually been shortchanged as a general manager of a company.
That's incredible. From my point of view, my wife's actually a fashion designer as well. And it's a really tough challenge to be a fashion designer / businesswoman.
It is. You need both sides of the head working, both sides of the brain working.
Yeah, that's a rare breed. So, yeah, well done. Okay, look, I just wanted to ask you. So, obviously, you specialize in revamping, you know, businesses' branding. And why do you think branding is so important? And what kind of financial impact can it have on a business if they get their branding right?
Right. Well, I mean, I know from personal knowledge dealing with customers, but also there are stats out there which say, basically say a stronger corporate brand image boosts your price by 5 to 7%. But what I find more so with customers that I deal with is their brand is actually not allowing them to connect with the customers that are going to actually bring them the most money in. So I work with people who are trying to elevate their business, attract a better end customer, customers with more money that are not going to haggle them on the price, that are actually going to want their services and value their services for the quality that it is. So we look at rebranding to actually attract those customers, make more money, get more people, the right people through the door, and actually, and again with brands, you know, it's you look at the, again, stats. 30% of the world's best performing brands were developed before 1900. So brands count. They stay there for the longevity. So the more time you spend on investing in a brand, the better the commitment is with your customers.
I love that.
Yeah, so what you're saying is that a lot of people think of their branding potentially to increase their value, but the reality is that most business owners haven't got it right in the first place. So not only, I mean, there's no point increasing their value if their value is the wrong customers coming to them in the first place.
Yeah, I mean, I spoke to a guy today and he said, we're trying to start a business and we've got a logo. It's not the best, but we're ready to run with it. And I went, no, don't run with it. Show me your logo first, because even if we can get it done just quickly, but actually have it properly designed rather than something they just made up from a Word document and something they pulled off the computer. It just is a small icon. It doesn't work. It looks like it's been homemade. He's trying to deal with cars and vehicles, and it's a massive investment for a customer. For them to look at a brand that looks like they've made the logo at home, it's not going to instill a great deal of confidence in that customer, in that business. So what I'm saying is you've got to have a brand, you've got to make sure you invest the time and effort in it from the start, otherwise you're lost from the word go.
Yeah, I think that's definitely something that Greg and I say all the time is, you know, invest up front. You know, take the time and get it working right, and you can always build on it. You don't have to go all the way with it, but the right starting point is a great help. Look, Sue, you know, I know that there's a couple of really interesting case studies about businesses that you've successfully helped with their branding. You know, one in particular that comes to mind, which is a company called Asbestos Plus. Now, asbestos is a bit of an icky industry, and there's not a lot of confidence a lot of the time when you're making that decision from a brand point of view, but I think they look fabulous these days. I mean, I see that brand and it instills confidence in me if I ever needed that service. Can you tell me the logic behind where they were and where they ended up and how you went through that process?
The business actually, when I started working with them, they had one of those lovely Vistaprint cards with a little picture of a truck on with somebody else's telephone number on the side of it. And the other side of it was just white, and it wasn't even cellar glazed or even in, it was just a heavyweight paper. And he was too embarrassed to even hand these cards out. At that time, they were doing rubbish collection and asbestos clearing. And they were running with a very badly looking green battered truck. He bought a new truck and he said, look, he said, I've got this name registered. Can we do something with it? And I went, absolutely, let's brand it. So we did. And we came up with a very strong logo. And like with everything we do with branding, we have to look at the individual business and how they're going to use their business card, how they're going to use the material. Not everything works for everybody. So for him, we actually looked at coming up with a very strong logo. He wanted something that said urgency. So instead of red, we went for orange. And a very strong, a strong brand. In the asbestos world, there are a lot of people illegally dumping asbestos, a lot of unprofessional people doing it because they can actually charge a lot of money, but are not doing it professionally, and they're not doing it safely. With this guy, we created the logos, we created the branding, we created a checklist printed out on letterheaded paper with a checklist for the customers, so they actually have all the things they need to do, how they need to speak to their neighbours, what they need to do in terms of closing windows, and then a branded envelope that it was put in, a business card which was shiny front and back because these guys' hands are filthy, and as we know, paper gets filthy, so shiny business card, flyers 10 doors up and 10 doors down of whatever job they're doing. And the biggest difference was made when we actually branded their vehicle. They had one vehicle at that time. Within 3 months, they had tripled their turnover. They now have 4 trucks, a ute and a car, and 3 trailers sitting around Henley Marine Drive. They spent money on a website, and they didn't get any business coming through the website. They paid for search engine optimization. They actually made the money through people seeing their vehicles and their trailers sitting on the side of the road.
Did their website match the rest of their branding?
Not as strong. It was more of an information tool. It didn't really sell the business that well, and it wasn't as strong as the branding that we'd created. We created a very strong, professional-looking business. So when he's actually quoting against somebody else, he will absolutely get the job without a doubt because he looks professional. And most people in that particular field do not look professional. And when you're actually competing against people that look very bad, you will win. So it's not a matter of actually being there competing on a level playing field. You're already a step above the competition.
Just by having a strong brand. Yeah, that's a great case study. So, and obviously if they had invested in a website design that where the designer designed it to convert their prospects into sales, then they'd have a better chance too. But no, that's a great case study. I just had one question. You mentioned you chose the color orange instead of red. Why was that?
Well, because red says fear.
Yep.
And as much as asbestos is dangerous, we didn't really want to have fear. So orange was closer to red, so it says urgency, but it doesn't say fear.
I love it.
Yep. I think orange says safety as well. I mean, when you think the particular orange that you use, you think safety vest, you think safety, you know, road cones, you think safety helmets. It was a brilliant choice of colour strategically. Talking about Asbestos Plus, I mean, we don't want to downgrade the need for a website. And I think, like Greg said, you know, sometimes a website design that converts is critical, you know. I mean, their site has a lot of the very basic core elements. But in this industry, I think you're right. The professional presentation on site is far more impactful. And look, I respect the web, and Greg, no offense to you, but I mean, I have another client in another industry where, you know, we've selected a very bright green and everything has solid block colors. And the only conversions we get from that company are from mail, those clients are from mail and phone calls, right? Mm-hmm. And no matter what we do online, it's just not where people are necessarily seeing the brand. And that may change over the next 5 years.
Yeah, I agree with you, Alan, on that, because I think every business is different. And you've got to look at, these are local businesses. They make money out of not having to travel too far. like electricians and plumbers, they don't have to travel too far. They want to be in their area. If they've got to spend an hour in a vehicle, they're actually losing money. They work on the local area, and anybody around the area in the Inner West, they know these trucks. They seem to be everywhere, and it's a form of brand advertising for them, whereas the websites use as a reference tool to actually see the fact that they're actually a legitimate business and they know what they're doing.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting one because, I mean, I've got a client in the ACT who has a great website, but again, they get more business from their branded vehicles than they do. So the local markets, you know, will often have people trying to sell them websites. That's great, but get your branding right first, get your local presence right first, and then see if it translates online.
I'll pay for a website for what it is. If it's something that's bringing work in, if it's an e-commerce site, then it's there to actually work for you. If it's a reference tool, pay for it like it's a reference tool.
Yeah, absolutely. It's another form of brand recognition. So if they've seen your vehicle, they are going to check you online. You might not get a conversion off that, but they'll certainly pick up the phone and call through and say, oh, I saw your vehicle.
And it's an endorsement where they can see your testimonials.
Yeah, absolutely. So look, that's interesting because you've just highlighted they've tripled the number of trucks or more that they've got. Business is going well from a simple branding change. So let me just ask you, you know, if I'm a business owner or if there's a business owner out there listening, what damage potentially are they doing if their branding is in need of a revamp and they don't take action on that?
Actually, I work with a lot of professional industries as well as obviously trade people, but law firms and things like that. And what people don't realise is the customers are actually judging your business before they've even contacted you. And so from the appearance of your business, the customer's already judged what your business is about. They've judged whether you're professional. They judged where you actually spend time on the appearance, particularly with law firms where we're paying $500 an hour or $350 an hour. If they haven't actually got a professional look, are people going to feel confident paying that much money per hour to somebody that actually doesn't look professional? So you're actually causing yourself damage in terms of the customers that aren't even approaching you because they've already judged you before they've actually picked up the phone. And also the other thing is in terms of price, because you're actually causing yourself damage where you're actually not able to charge the price that you're actually worth. So instead of people having faith in you and being the business of choice, they actually use you as a price comparison. So they're actually finding out the price from you and your competitors because you look cheap.
Look, I agree with you 100%. We in society have been trained to go for the glitz and glamour. I mean, you look at retail, you look at the supermarkets, it's all about how something superficially looks in the first instance, you know, and professionals are really interesting like that. Like traditionally a solicitor or a financial advisor or a superannuation advisor doesn't actually or hasn't traditionally had much in the way of branding. It's a lawyer and co in a New Times Roman text and their registration numbers and address, and that's about it. Whereas today, if you're the only one in your area as that service provider that is beautifully branded, it's going to go a long way for people making that choice. And if you're not the one with the branding, then the cost is that people are going to make a decision before they've met you, even if you're the best at what you do. Would you agree, Sue?
Oh, absolutely, yes. And what I've found is when I'm working with professional people, whether it's finance or law businesses, the ones that are doing well are the ones that actually want to spend the money on their branding. And in terms of, again, branded promotional items, lawyers work with, there's a Bermuda Triangle happening between lawyers, accountants and real estate agents. And to actually to be able to send promotional items to a real estate agent that sits on their desk with their number when somebody wants to buy a house, which law firm do they go to? The one that's actually on their desk. So actually using brand in a way to actually bring yourself to the forefront of people's minds in terms of sending work to you as well. So it's not even just in a case of dealing with customers, it's dealing with your business partners as well.
Yeah, that's so true. Okay, so look, on this topic, so what would you say then to the business owner when they're considering branding their business? Like what's some advice you could give them to start with?
I think a lot of people think of branding a business as being a logo. I'm afraid to say that's actually not branding your business. That's giving your business an image that the customers can connect with. Branding a business is about creating a personality for that business. So I think most owners of businesses don't think of, they just think it's a logo and it's a job. at the end of the day, people connect with personalities, and they also connect personalities of business. So in terms of your business, you need to work out what the ethics of the business are, what the culture of the business is, the value statements of that business, and the customer relationships, how you deal with customers and how you deal with other businesses and who you're connected with. If you're going to be connected with an unethical business, it's going to reflect on your business as well. So, and then the logo itself and the imaging that actually follows through in everything that's printed or digitally on the computer needs to reflect that branded. And you need to be actually 100% focused and blinkered in terms of what your branding is about and not allow it to just suddenly sway off in different directions and refocus on different looks. It needs to be consistent. You're creating a human being as a brand, and that's what you need to really focus on.
That's awesome. So how do you bring that out of a client?
Well, I actually had an interesting one the other day where I had a logo and nothing else. And I turned up to a meeting and I said, look, I said, your business is about creativity. It's about fun. It's about excitement. It's about the people. It's about the customer. And she said to me, she said, how did you get that from our style guide? And I said, I didn't get it from your style guide. I would have fallen asleep if I'd got it from your style guide. I said, where I got it from was the video that you produced, the testimonials, the photographs of the staff, the office environment. That's where I'd got it from. But nothing else in their brand actually reflected that. So what our job was now is to take that logo and the actual ethics and personality and culture and values of that business and turn it into a complete brand where it's followed through on the signage in the store, the website imaging. So there's actually consistently all the way going through. And this is not a small business. It's a big business, but it only had a logo and it missed that personality. So we're adding the personality back into that business.
Yeah, that's fabulous. I think that a lot of people forget that business is relationships, and your brand is often the starting point for that relationship. So, okay, so we've talked a little bit about branding from a business's point of view and why it's important and what it can cost. But from a designer's point of view, you know, we have a mix of people listening to this, and some designers are really great at branding. Others are great at creating logos, right? What would you advise a designer focus on if they want to create a successful brand for their client?
Okay, well, I'm sure the clients think it's really easy. They don't realize what a nightmare they are. And especially a customer, a client who has no idea what they want to do with their business. And that's the hard thing, because they expect a designer to suddenly come up with something that's right. For this business, Living Lines, we create questionnaires for our customers. So I will actually send them a questionnaire and say, you do your homework first before we actually spend the time together. They actually are not going to do their homework, then they're not committed to it.
So yeah, we do the same thing in our business, and geez, it makes a difference because when they get through the questionnaire, which can be challenging, they come out the other end and say, that was so helpful.
One customer said to me, she said, oh, she said, but I thought we go to branding people to say, I want a logo and then see what comes out. And I said, no, I said, you are our worst nightmare, because there are a million different directions you can go in. And all you're doing is wasting a designer's time. And I think with a lot of customers, they don't realize how highly qualified and how highly trained designers are. And they're not there to just spend endless amounts of hours designing and redesigning and redesigning. Everybody wants a happy customer at the end of the day. And the only way to get a happy customer is to make sure you've got inside the customer's head, that the customer is on board with you, that you're all on the journey together, and you're actually creating this together. It's not a test that the designer has to pass. It's actually a journey that you stick to together. And with Living Lines, we do focus on long-term relationships with our customers. And I think that's a big thing for designers, is creating that long-term relationship. Because once you understand a brand and you've got the handwriting of the brand, to keep that brand working with you is actually really beneficial for them and you. Because you've already been through the torture of creating the brand in the first place.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Look, I've got an interesting question for you, and I'm not sure if I'm going to sort of blindside you on this one, but in your questionnaire, do you have a favourite question that you ask that often gives you a real aha moment when the customer answers it?
Well, there are actually two questions in there, asking them if there's anybody in their industry that they actually compete with. So who is the actual competitor? Who they see themselves sitting alongside? And the other thing is whether there are logos that they are actually inspired by. Because quite often people don't do the homework. They just expect, I'll know it when I see it. And they don't actually look into it. To get them to actually do the research themselves and actually say, no, that is exactly what I'm looking for. But for my industry. As I said, I had a customer that needed rebrand. He looked like grandma and granddad, bless him. And the owner of the business was so not grandma and granddad. I said to him, I said, can you give me some idea of where you want to take this business? He goes, oh, don't prepare anything for the meeting. We'll just meet up and have a chat. And I went, no, we're not doing it that way. Give me some idea before I go there, because I don't waste an hour's meeting sitting with somebody with nothing prepared. He said to me, he goes, okay, what I want is I want my financial business to turn into Audi and Mercedes. I don't want grandma and granddad anymore. And he was so Audi and Mercedes. And what we did was I researched into it. I actually came up with images. And on that first appointment, we were sat there and we went through it. He goes, that's what I'm looking for. I had it straight away. Within the end of the week, he had his logo and his business card sorted. So, as I said, having that time with them and for them to give you a brief, Audi and Mercedes is all you needed to say to me to be able to say, I know where you're going with this business.
That's fantastic. Okay, so therefore, I mean, your website is beautiful. You've obviously put a lot of effort into that. Has it always been that beautiful? When did you change it?
January. Before then, no, it wasn't so beautiful. I think when people look at different businesses, they judge them in different ways. And when you're a designer or you're in branding, if you don't do the job better than the people you're actually doing it for, then obviously they're not going to trust you. And I think that's a big thing. When I actually changed my website and I actually changed my business card at the same time, I came up with a business card with gold foil on the front of it. I created an icon. I have two colors of the card. And the people say, why have you got two colors? And I said, well, one's my conservative card and one's my out there card. And they said, well, why have you got two? And I said, because it creates a conversation. It creates a memory. And I asked people, so which card would you like? Would you like the more conservative business or would you like the more out there business? And generally the out there business tends to get there. And other people say, can I have both of them? Because I think I know somebody I can give the other one to. And it's not often that people ask you for two business cards.
That's true.
But the website, yeah, I had to change it because it wasn't a reflection of my business. And everything you do in branding has to reflect your business. This reflects me and the business card and the business model. And I think what a lot of people need to understand with business is you can actually look like a bigger business even if you're a small business. You can look like somebody that has massive clients, even if you just through the design, through the collateral that you use, through the business card and the way you present yourself. As long as you can follow through in the job that's done and the work that's done, you can actually look like a very big business and you can look like a very professional business, but it has to be consistent and it has to be true to your brand and true to what people see when they meet you.
Yeah. And has your website increased your revenue since you changed it?
I actually don't get a lot of, people actually look at my website, but I actually don't get a lot of work straight through the website.
I'm sure it would help with positioning though. I mean, it looks high class.
Yeah, it does. But also I've actually, and this is what I actually say to a lot of business as well, is, you know, you get pulled in every different direction through LinkedIn and Facebook and social media and websites and search engine optimization and all this sort of stuff. And I say, is there something that you've done in your life that has made a difference, that would make your approach on business slightly different to everybody else's? And what I actually do with my business is because I've lectured, I actually do professional lectures for professional businesses, for law firms and for financial firms, and create a funnel that will go through the website and then come directly to me. Again, doing the professional, I'm the professional in that particular field because I have specific knowledge in that field and I lecture in that field and I turn up to technical seminars in those fields just so I can speak to my customers with more knowledge than I know they have in their own industry.
Yeah, that's a great way for them to preview you and what you're about. Look, I think, you know, we've had a great chat today. We've brought to everybody's attention how important branding is, you know, that there can be a massive payoff. There can also be, you know, a huge impact if you don't do it or you don't get it right. And, you know, the fact that we are trying to build that personality, whether you're the business owner, you really need to think about your business before you go to your designer. And if you're the designer, really dig deep before you start designing. If you had one tip for a designer and a business owner who are going to work together on the branding journey, what would you recommend that they do together to get the best result?
Well, I think we've gone through some of the basics in terms of, you know, basically the business owner has to do homework, they have to do the questionnaire, they need to understand the business and what it is they're trying to create. And I think with the designer, I think really it's a case of working together and working as a team. I think a lot of the time, and I found it myself, it's like a test. And it's not a test, it's a case of working together. And also valuing the fact that designers are actually highly qualified people who know what they're doing, providing they're giving the right guidance from the business owner. So I think it's a case of being part of a team. But also what I found as well is when a designer designs for a customer, mock up their design in how they're going to use it. If they're going to use it for real estate, put it in the advertising schedules. If they're going to use it on a billboard, put it on a billboard. Show them what it can look like. Mock it up into a website so they can actually see what it would look like. Because quite a lot of businesses aren't terribly visual people. And as much as us designers, we can imagine what things look like. Customers can't. So if you can actually mock it up at that stage, then you can avoid a lot more problems later on down the line when you're trying to apply it to some of those end uses.
Yeah, look, I think that's super important. I love the comment that you make about it not being a test. I quite often feel like, you know, the client-designer relationship feels like you're on opposite sides of a ping pong table and you know, you're bashing this ball back and forwards to each other, where really you should both be on the same side working together. It's not a test. It's not, you know, it's not opposing sides of the coin. You both should be on the same side. And I love your mock-up thing. You know, I know that you use the Pixel Partners team to whip up mock-ups. I mean, you're only one person, and I know you have a number of other professional designers that work on projects with you, and I know you leverage the Pixel Partners team to do mock-ups and vectorize logos when sometimes you get horrible JPEGs, and that's not the best use of your time. But mock-ups, I think, personally, make a massive difference. Business owners don't understand what a flat piece of artwork is going to look like in reality. I mean, the amount of times I've sent a billboard design through to a client as a flat PDF and send the same thing through on a image of a billboard, even, you know, I'll go and grab a shot of that billboard from Google Street View and put it on there, and they'll sign off straight away when they see it in context. So context is super important.
Yes, when they're inspired by it and it looks like what it's meant to look like. And as I said, they're not visual people, and we can't expect them to be visual. And I think the whole thing about, you know, as a designer, when you're branding a business, the hard thing with being a designer is you brand a business, you've got a big chunk of work, you work through it with your customer, and then they go off on their merry way. If you want to have a long-term relationship with them, be part of that partnership where you're working together to create the brand together, and then the chances are that they will keep coming back to you because you've actually got that long-term relationship with them. And as a designer, that's very, very valuable, having that little bit of work running through with all your existing customers.
Yeah, I think that long-term relationship you talk about, I mean, you and I yesterday were talking about a job where they wanted a breakout corner and it was going to have graffiti on the wall, and they've got a 10-metre entry wall in their building that needed graphics on it. And the first thing you said was, you know, I need to get photos of this so that we can mock the graphics up in context on the wall. And I think that is about solidifying that relationship. You know, you're taking what you're doing and you're putting it into their environment so that they can actually visualize the outcome. I hate to say it, but I often see designers who just fire back a JPEG and it doesn't have the context, you know?
Yeah, and maybe it's the old way. I mean, my graphic design knowledge is relatively modern. And these days, it is about mocking up. It's about treating every design job like your life depends on it. So you need to make sure you're professional on every single thing that you do, and it's presented in that professional format all the way through. And then you'll actually have the respect, but also you'll have the money from it because they can see the value in it.
Amazing, Sue. Your knowledge is absolutely incredible in the branding space. I just have one more question before we wrap up. So before you present a logo, do you present like a mood board of the direction that you're going to take that logo in, for instance, or the brand?
Yes, there are a couple of different stages through that I work to. And as I said, when I have a first meeting, I actually find out and actually get all the information sent to me beforehand. So at least I can get my head around it before I've even set foot into a meeting with a customer. Now, you could say that, well, that's a bit of waste of time and effort because you might not even get the job. Well, you might not get the job, but at least if you're going to walk in there prepared, there's more chance of you getting the job. So I walk in there with elements, if they can't work out which way their logo is going, I literally pull up together all the logos in their industry that I like, that I think maybe hits the nail on the head, and then go through it with them at that stage. So at least they go, yeah, that's the sort of thing I'm looking for, but I don't like those colors, I like these colors. And I go, okay, that in these colors. So then when we actually do the branding, we work on three different styles of logo, but then we put stories behind them. And then when we do the style guide, we add the personality into the style guide as well.
That's incredible. I think probably because of your fashion background, that's how, you know, fashion usually starts as well, with mood boards. So yeah, it's interesting that you use that in your branding approach as well, which is what we do, and especially my wife. So look, thank you very much, Sue, for your time. So why don't we just let people know how they can connect with you and what your website is?
Okay, so the website is www.livinglines.com.au, and there's a lovely little contact area at the end. So if you'd like to contact us through Living Lines, we'd love to hear from you. But we also have a Facebook page, Living Lines Design. So have a look at that. Have a look at some of the material we've got there and like that page. And, we're putting up a whole load of different stuff. We work with fashion businesses as well. So, yeah, there's lots of interesting things coming on.
Fantastic.
And I would highly recommend, if anybody is in need of having their brand reviewed, or you don't know whether you do need to revamp it, you know, Sue is a great point of contact. You know, send her what you've got and tell her where you're at, and she'll give you an honest answer if you do need to review or revamp where you are. I mean, a lot of the time, you know, some businesses don't need the revamp. They just need some direction to bring the personality in. So, Sue, thanks for coming along today. It's been awesome.
Thank you for inviting me. No, it's been great doing this. And as I said, it's nice to share some of the knowledge, because we're all in it to try and have a happy working relationship with our customers. And sometimes it's just our approach needs to be a little bit more focused with dealing with them.
Fantastic. Thanks, Sue. Catch you next time.
Thank you, Sue. Wow, Al, that was just an amazing interview. She's so knowledgeable, and I, you know, just love her. The style of her branding, like on her website and what she does for her clients. She obviously gets good results. So what would be your number one killer listener action to take away from that?
Well, look, before we go into the tip, just one thing is Sue's going to give us some before and afters to post on our show notes. So listener, go and have a look, and you can actually see some of those brands that she's worked with that we talked about on the episode. But for me, you know, business owners, if you're not sure if you need work on your branding, go and seek some advice. You know, I am sure most great designers out there are more than willing to review where you currently stand and make recommendations. You know, some brands don't need a revamp. They just need a level of commitment to carry the brand personality through everything that they do. So I see a lot of businesses get that wrong. They don't carry it through in all their brochures, in their press advertising, on their website. So, you know, maybe just a little bit of help with that might be where you need to go. What about you, Greg? What's your killer tip?
Look, I would just say, you know, I guess the key message for me from what Sue was saying was to really look at your brand as a whole, similar to what you're saying. And look, if you don't have a brand at all, it's probably the best place to start, you know, because you haven't done what a client showed me today where they've just decided to do a logo themselves and put a WordPress website together themselves. And this person's quite professional, but her presence, her branding was just atrocious, and it is going to let her down. So if you're serious about your business, be serious about getting your branding right.
Absolutely. Take a long-term view, you know. I don't think there's anything wrong with minimum viable product if you're testing something new. But the minute you know that you're going to take this further, you need to invest in that.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, listener. And if you've got any feedback on this episode, please leave a comment over at therealmagic.com. Or if you love the episode, leave us a 5-star review if you can on iTunes. We'd much, much appreciate it.
We definitely would appreciate it. We look forward to your comments. Catch you next time, listener.
Thank you.
Thanks, Greg.
Thanks, Al. Bye.
Thanks for listening to The Real Magic Podcast. Hear more at therealmagic.com.